Hey there, everybody. I'm filmmaker, podcaster, California State Certified Violence Prevention Specialist, and podiatrist to the stars, Phil Lernis. And I've been proud to be a U.S. cultural correspondent for Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive program for many years now. And I congratulate you, dear listener, on having found this oasis of podcast audio magic in the cosmos, or on your internet-equipped mobile device, or your computer.
From Great Yorkshire Day's logs. I'm really sorry, we've just had an emergency arrive. The last words we actually heard from our station vet and general all-round wonderful soul, I'm really sorry, we've just had an emergency arrive. I responded, rescue and heal immediately. Gave another suggestion about various other things. Has the first solo Saturday been survived? Not a word. Good luck with second month and Newry. Not a word. Could you do so? Not a word, etc. All I heard was that Eloise Sheehan had sent you details about her pet hamster and that he was poorly. And I figured, but then I see finally today, absolutely crazy week. Zoe, it's good to have you back because we thought, what has happened? Do we need to actually send a whole expedition south to the land of Newbury? Exactly. To say, is she there?
Oh, I got a very similar message from my mum yesterday saying, please can you just confirm you are still alive?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you see, parents and fellow co-hosts and presenters and producers care deeply about you, Zoe. And we even just saying, I'm still alive, but the horse isn't. We'll be fine, okay? It's all good.
Yeah, I got a bit distracted with communication this week. Hasn't really worked out, but it's fine. I'm back in the game now.
Thank heavens for that. So your second month, of course, well into your second month now at Newbury.
Yeah.
Great stuff. It's all good. And did you receive Eloise's query about her sickly hamster, which I thought
yes.
was... Yeah.
I did indeed. I mean, when I opened that message, I did think, oh gosh, I really don't know an awful lot about hamsters.
No. They're not like horses, are they, really? I mean, in comparative terms, you know, if you were to have a hamster Grand National, it could end up in carnage, really, couldn't it? You know? I mean, you're...
Yeah,
that's
quite a good idea. Maybe we should try
that. Yeah, but even your Shetland pony jockeys would crush a hamster if they got onto it. You know, they...
Yeah. Maybe no jockeys.
No, exactly.
Or, like, some ants or something.
Yeah, ants jockeys would possibly be okay. That might be a possibility. Or Lilliputians, if we can contact the land of Lilliput and get some Lilliputians to ride the giant hamsters. Kind of ties in with Land of the Giants. Yeah. Okay, from your lips to God's ears, Zoe. That's the official line that we actually have. And who knows, before too long, in this new world order, we will be having the Aintree John Smith's Hamster Grand National. Maybe we also need to reduce the course at Aintree, because I suspect that might be a bit too large, of course, as it stands for an average hamster.
It's an awfully long way.
It would be, yeah, but, maybe 90 minutes or so to actually get round the course, perhaps.
Gosh, I think their viewers might get bored.
Could we see hamsters going into three-day eventing as a possibility?
Maybe like an agility course.
Yep. Well, I mean, let's face it, if you can have ferret roulette, I'm sure there must be a part to play for hamsters in the whole thing. I don't know what state of play Eloise's hamster is in. All I received from Eloise was that her former school friends from the university had actually turned up. So whether they decide to have hamster on rye, I don't know. But, you know, it's just by the by. But hopefully the hamster is well.
Yeah, I think the hamster was better.
Good.
Was improving.
Yeah. I just hasten to add, I'm not advocating in any way, shape or form you should ever actually have a hamster fat sandwich, because that didn't do at all well for former comedian Freddie Starr when he was also talking about hamsters in general. But at least we've been able to put that to bed, so to speak, or at least to nest in the case of hamsters. It's very good, because they're used to the desert, I believe, and as the temperature is so warm, or clearly, you know, highest for a few years, we need to be aware of that. So how are you finding the horses are coping with the heat? Is there a kind of common issue in terms of the response that Dr. Zoe will provide is quite simply, have you actually tried watering your horse?
Yeah, it's really hot down here this week, and so we have had a few emergencies come in, and it's been a really busy week in the hospital, but yeah, I think everything is under control.
I would hope so, because I was also singing your praises to a number of TV vets and so on, and I'll send you the links, etc. Singing your praises whilst at the same time as I was singing your praises thinking, I don't know if she's still alive actually, but what the heck. Obviously didn't want to actually sort of say anything else, because you're always in my heart, so that's what was important too. So
on that basis, fine last week.
Yeah. Mind you, how often have we heard those words, you know? The operation was a complete success. Unfortunately, the patient has popped their clogs. Never mind.
I promise I'll be better at communicating.
We'd just like to see you via Zoom. You know, we'd just like to share your wonderfulness, you know. Curiously, I'm going to actually change some of the rubric today, because we're going to feature Tessa's Tune of the Week, not once, but twice, actually, because I'm going to give you the chance to actually cast your creative ear over this, because I know, Zoe, when it comes to music, you're incisive. It's like, you know, laser swift. It can be the theme to Bonanza, it can be the theme to High Chaparral, you can still say, never heard of them at all. It was straight in there. It's great. So the reason we're actually sort of focusing on this is it's by a singer-songwriter called Zoe.
Ooh!
Exactly.
So exciting. Another, not me.
Well, I know that, because this is Zoee, Zoe.
Oh.
To distinguish, of course, from the other Zoe, who had Sunshine on a Rainy Day, the actress Zoe Wanamaker, who obviously has an umlaut over her O in the Zoe, and of course a Doctor Who companion of the Patrick Troughton era, played by Wendy Padbury, who was also Zoe. Marvellous. Say Zoe's that I have known. There was even a petrol head sports reporter for the Sunday Sun who was also called Zoe. But none of them could hold the light to vet that is Zoe Jameson. However, are you ready for your namesake Zoe, with a double E clearly to demarcate the whole thing, and her interpretation of the song we sing? Well, I say interpretation, it's her song, so it's the song we sing by Zoe. Are you ready for this?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Well, we all found out that this is the song we sing. We all talk too loud, but this is the song we sing.
The question is it the song that they'll be singing in the barns of Newbury? Or will you just be going, whoa, 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 until it becomes too insufferable?
It's very good, isn't it?
Well, you need to make that decision, Zoe. Does it pass the Zoe Jameson test? Would you say, yes, Zoe, my namesake with a double E, Zoe, it's okay?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Marvellous. Well, ultimately, if it passes the test of getting the thumbs up from Zoe Jameson whilst played down a telephone line to her across the country, it's got to be a critical success. So she'll pass that on, and it will get a second airing later on when, of course, Tessa gives us some more background information in terms of Zoe. I mean, maybe it's just, perhaps when the birth certificate was being compiled, there was just a slip of the pen, effectively, and it should just be Zoe, Z-O-E, but then it's become Zoe. Could have been a three, sir, from that point of view. I mean,
my goodness.
Have you ever felt, Zoe, the need to actually, you know, have an extra E or three after ZO or ZO in the case of Americans?
No, I can't say I have.
No, because
I mean, quite like three letters. That's enough for me.
Rule of three. You know, this is what we like, you know, a Z, an O, and an E. It's that, you know, I mean, it opens it up so easily. It gives us a Z. Z, O, O, E, E. What do you got? Zoe! I mean, inevitably. In fact, I'm amazed you haven't actually fed that into a kind of ringtone so that could actually form part and parcel of your calling card as a vet. Because let's face it, all the best TV vets, etc., have a kind of certain angle to the whole sequence on that basis. You know, Alf White or James Herriot have a sort of zone from that. You know, we have lots of other things. So maybe say Zoe. No, maybe not. I'm just shooting
Yeah, maybe
the...
I'll have to get on that.
It'll happen. So what does the rest of the weekend have in store for yourself, Zoe? Are you still actually on solo duty, or is it a case of no, for once I get time to actually sit down and contemplate the universe?
Not quite. I am still on call, and we've got an emergency in at the minute, so I'm going to have to go back in shortly.
Well, I mean, don't call me shortly. I've told you that before. Sorry. It's an old line, but what the hey. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Zoe Jameson?
I have, as always.
Proof that ZJ is still alive. That's the important thing. Or is it pre-recorded? No, she's still here as we speak at this particular time. So the next critical question is, can we look forward to connecting with you again either via Zoom, Zoe for Zoom? It's going to be a classic, isn't it, really? Or telephonically speaking, in the near future, will you be back with us soon?
Yes, hopefully very soon.
Well, that's what we like to hear. Fingers crossed all the way around. Keep on keeping on. I'll press this button here now, Zoe.
Oh,
somebody who is going on the adventure of a lifetime, because she's leaving Stokesley for a wee while at least, is our station philosopher, Poppy Booth. How are you, Poppy?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
How are you?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, to cope with obviously Robin Pierce going into a state of despair at your absence from A Resonance Rewind, when he was looking forward to your take on Batman the Killing Joke, and we were talking about lines on that system, and then the fact that you're not going to be around for the time tunnel and Rendezvous with Yesterday as well is just, I mean, I don't know how he's going to cope, to be honest. I really don't know how he's going to cope. And that you're going into an area of the globe which has virtually zero mobile signal whatsoever. I mean, are you just going into purgatory? Are you heading off into some kind of desert-like trance to actually purge yourself of all of the clutter of our contemporary living lives?
Yeah, you know, I thought it'd be a very good opportunity to just go and, you know, think about some great philosophy and really ponder life's meaning. But yeah, in reality, we were meant to go to Spain. The quarantine was
you can go, just go and come back, that's all, and just make sure you've got a good link.
That's true.
So you decided to go to France instead, have you?
Well, it's Northumberland, in fact.
Wow.
So not even as exotic as France.
That's even more exciting. That's almost Scottish borderland there. You don't feel tempted to go up to Aberdeen and get locked down there? Just a thought.
I know, we'll see how we feel. Might go crazy.
Stir crazy. So whereabouts in Northumberland? Are you going Alnwick? Are you going border country? Are you going caravan park? What's the line?
Well, my stepdad's friend has got a little cottage in a place called Kirkstall.
Yes.
Which is about 25 minutes from Berwick. Inland, it'll be nice.
Kirk, of course, Scottish for church, so you could actually have a stall of churches there, a church stall. You could have a bazaar.
Yeah.
Quite clearly have a bazaar there. Linguistics, semantics, it's a whole new aspect, as A.J. Ayer would have actually said in Language, Truth and Logic. But you're probably not interested in A.J. Ayer, and you probably sort of put him down as a hopeless populariser of the whole essence of language and logic, as he was saying, in terms of what things mean, what they identify, and so on. Because despite the fact that Robin has also said he was surprised you couldn't find anything philosophical to say about Land of the Giants and went off on a utilitarianism turn. That's what we appreciate about you, Poppy. So where are you going to take us today?
Well, because I've been talking about ethical theories, I thought I would carry on that note and actually talk about the one that I think is the best, or that I think I want to live my life.
Simply the best, Tina Turner. Yeah. Sorry, classic.
So I'm talking about virtue ethics, which is a theory that was come up by Aristotle. So very old, very original. And basically, it focuses more on the idea, not is X right or wrong, but is X a good person? So it really is all about your own moral compass and, you know, wanting to be the best person you can be. So basically, Aristotle thought that everything had a proper function. So a table is to put things on, and if you can't put things on a table, then it's a bad table, it's bad at being a table. And so for humans, he thought that being moral and being rational was what made us human. So if you're not good at being moral, then you're not good at being a human. So that's what basically the basis of his theory is. And so you need to be moral and a good person in order to properly flourish as a human being. So he decided that you need to live your life by following certain virtues, and basically you find these virtues by seeking the golden mean, which is his phrase, or between two different vices. So for example, courage would be a virtue, and then either side of courage there is a deficiency vice and there is an excessive vice. So the deficiency of courage would be cowardice, and the excess of courage would be recklessness or rashness. So you need to just get your nice golden mean in the middle, and that's the virtue that you need to follow in life. And then he says, once you've found these and you want to live your life like this, you need to basically practice. It's not something you can just learn in a book. It's something that you have to actually do every day, and then eventually it will just become like a reflex, like a force of habit, that you just do the right thing after a while, which might seem a bit vague, but I think once if you went kind of look into it a bit more and actually really think about it, it makes a lot of sense, because you do really have to practice at doing the right thing a lot of times, and then as you progress through life, you can really get some good skills in knowing what is the right thing to do. And then a final way he says that you can make sure you're doing the right thing is to pick a person who is a moral exemplar. So you could use, I don't know, Mother Teresa or someone like that and think, what would they do in this situation? Like, what would they decide? And it doesn't matter if, like, obviously everyone is flawed, so you can't really pick a person that is perfectly virtuous. But it doesn't really matter, because all you're picking up on is a very small aspect of their decision making, or like a very specific detail of their character. So it doesn't really matter if they're massively flawed, as long as the specific thing you are wanting to emulate is virtuous. And basically the reason he says you should try and live like this and be virtuous and be a good person is so that you can reach what he calls eudaimonia, which is a Greek term that there's not really a good translation for, but it basically kind of roughly is human flourishing. And that is basically just being the best person you can be, and honing your strengths and working on your weaknesses. And it's a lifelong thing. You can't just suddenly reach eudaimonia and call it a day and say, oh, well, I can just coast now. And you have to still work at it for your whole life. But it's, yeah, the goal is just to be the best person you can be. And I think that's a very nice goal to try and reach. So that's why this is my favorite.
It's the quest, of course, the quest writ large. And indeed, you said, what would Mother Teresa do? You could actually go even further back and say, what would Jesus do? I'm referring to the Son of God, not necessarily Gabriel Jesus, of course, the Manchester City forward. Well, yeah, that could be an interesting line.
So he
well.
Also might have some good virtues.
Exactly, qualities. Exactly. This is the whole point. And if we translate it to Land of the Giants, you could say, if Alexander Fitzhugh begins to start following the good things and the good path, he will improve his character and maybe ask himself, what would Captain Steve Burton do in this particular aspect? Presumably Aristotle would also say there's nothing wrong with actually taking as a moral compass the values of fictitious characters if they also are demonstrating good, valuable, and honourable moral traits.
Mm.
I mean, after all, you do say that with respect to inspirational literature, we take our lead, as indeed I believe Robin Pierce has from the Adam West Batman, amongst others, in terms of the way forward for that. Forms of virtue ethics to the fore. And, you know, time, it's just an illusion, or Aristotle around a few thousand years ago, but maybe he's still with us, because that's the Aristotelian logic that we're working with. So, will you be applying those particular moral virtue ethics in Northumberland, and in particular in Kirkstall?
I will try my best to, if I reach a significant moral error while I'm wandering little village,
but
I'll definitely keep Aristotle in mind.
I mean, ultimately, isn't that the point that's often said, that the reason we're actually here is it's a learning ground, it's a playground, it's where we're actually figuring out how to actually get it right?
Yeah, definitely. So I will use it every day of my life until I reach the goal of eudaimonia. That's the goal.
Not to be confused, of course, with eudaimongeezer, which again is a slightly different take and often uttered by Cockneys, who probably have their own particular philosopher, as in eudaimongeezer. They're actually looking for eudaimonia. Well, Poppy, I know it's only au revoir, even though I can hear the screams of anguish from the Siren Radio listeners on Wednesdays when they say, but Poppy's always on at around about 5:30, you know, just before Tessa Snart, and she's not going to be on next, you know, on the Wednesday when we listen to her from that point of view. Don't worry, she's not passed away, she's just gone to Kirkstall. And I have heard, Poppy, that you can indeed use postcards or tapping the table to still communicate with people in Kirkstall. So,
very good.
It is there. So, but the critical thing is, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us? Is there somebody yelping in the background there?
There is a dog barking.
Yeah. Oh, nice. You see, he's obviously seeing the importance of virtue ethics. So he's saying, yee, in that sort of way. Is it your dog, or is it just a random?
Yes, no, it is our dog. She barks at everything. She's a beagle, so it's in her nature.
Is she known, or the beagle species known for being key virtue people, or is it a case of, look, she's a beagle, just deal with it, that's what they do?
I think their main drive in life is food, so I don't know if there's any moral ideas there, but you know, I'll look into it and get back to you.
Well, and that comes us neatly round, brings us neatly round to the next question. Will you return?
Yes, I will. When back from my thrilling holiday.
Exactly. And for people who are completists and want the entire Poppy booth over, you'll be pleased to know that there is going to be a Zoom special set up with Poppy and Alina from Seattle and Eva McDonald from Lincoln, talking about Eva, who actually is looking to do a huge ab sale in aid of a brain tumour charity. So that's very exciting. That's coming up later on today. We might even be joined by Tessa Snart as well. All of this to come, but now this.
Why did you roll your dice?
whether he sings solo or as the lead singer of The Killers, he still has that magic. Brandon Flowers, Jilted Lovers, Broken Hearts. Could almost be thinking about a country scene, couldn't he? Tessa Snart, winner of the Robin Pierce Most Valuable Contributor of the Show Award. Well, joint winner, because he kind of made you joint winners with Ben Lewis, actually, because he was so impressed with the interview and indeed your enthusiasm, Tessa, which effectively clearly outlines the fact that when you're heading off in the next few weeks, you're going to Wales, simply to actually say, Robin Pierce, we salute you. Thank you.
I feel honoured.
Well,
thank you, Robin.
You could listen to it all over again by simply downloading the podcast from later on in the day if you're not listening to it at present, because clearly many people actually listen to this online and at a time of their own choosing, whether that be 3 a.m. in the morning or indeed when it's transmitted live on Siren Radio on a Wednesday evening for the first hour of the midweek drive between 5 and 6, which means if I look at my calculating scenario here, assuming we've had Andrew David's mini news desk after the news, add on a few bits and pieces, it'll be coming around now almost to 5:40. 5:40 p.m. 17:40, 20 to 6. If you're listening to this at any other time, just ignore that. Remember, time is an illusion. And we're going to switch things around a little bit, because we've already had an airing, Tessa. We've already had an airing of the song we sing, because I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist rolling it out to Zoe Jameson because of the name, you see.
There we go.
We will be playing it again, but I want to just give it a little bit of breathe, you know, a little bit of breath to actually work through that. So I'm going to give you a little challenge, your tuneful challenge to address this. A couple of interesting, I suppose you'd say, arguably, country classics coming up now. We can offer you either Linda Ronstadt and Tumbling Dice, or Glenn Campbell and a tune you'd be very, very lucky to get away with in any cancel culture woke environment at all these days, but it's Glenn Campbell singing Dreams of the Everyday Housewife.
I have to go with Glenn Campbell. He is one of the great and one of my personal favourites. So let's go with that number. I hope I've made the right decision.
Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, that whole notion of what a housewife should be dreaming, I don't know. It could be, you know, the woke folk will go crazy.
She looks in the mirror and stares at the wrinkles that weren't there yesterday. Thinks of the young man that she almost married. What would he think if he saw her this way? She picks up her apron in little girl fashion as something comes into her mind. Slowly starts dancing, remembering her girlhood and all of the boys she had waiting in line. Oh, such are the dreams of the everyday housewife. You see everywhere, any time of the day. An everyday housewife who gave up the good life for me. The photograph album she takes from the closet and slowly turns the page. Carefully picks up the crumbling flower, the first one he gave her, now withered with age. She closes her eyes and touches the house dress that suddenly disappears. And just for the moment she's wearing the gown that broke all their minds back so many years. Such are the dreams of the everyday housewife. You see everywhere, any time of the day. An everyday housewife who gave up the good life for me. Oh, such are the dreams of the everyday housewife. You see everywhere, any time of the day. An everyday housewife who gave up
good life for me.
I was always tempted to actually put my pinny on and actually pirouette around the studio with respect to that. It was such an innocent time in the 1970s when the argument about, so why should that fine woman had actually given up a good life for this country and western person called Glen Campbell, honestly.
It might be slightly outdated words-wise, but I think he's a brilliant storyteller. And obviously he's honouring all the great women out there. Lovely.
So. Nice take. Nice rescue, Chess. Very good. Nice rescue. Proving that you've actually got that to fall. Anthemic is the adjective that springs to mind when I first heard this next little piece of music, which is your tune of the week. Why have you elected to go for this particular thing, which, as I say, has rarely actually achieved that accolade already, partly because of Zoe Jameson, our wonderful online vet, of being getting a second airplay in the same calendar hour?
That's amazing, isn't it? Zoe will be very happy.
Mm. Well, of course, I haven't revealed what Zoe Jameson thought of it. You notice that? I mean, I've kept that deliberately secret. Yeah. I mean, I know, and that's it, really. And the listener will know by now, of course, but you won't know until you actually listen again to the whole piece. It's very strange.
Okay.
And Zoe won't know either, but there we are. Anyway, off to you.
Which Zoe am I on about? I mean,
exactly.
Okay. So I've chosen the song We Sing by Australian native UK-based multi-award winning singer-songwriter Zoe, because again, it's another positive tune, and obviously we like to stay positive on the Midweek Drive, don't we, Alex? And this particular song was written with the pandemic in mind and lockdown, and it's just about uniting everybody together through difficult times. And it is a song that we all really should be singing. It's lovely. So that is why I have picked this one today. And Zoe says, she quotes, "To me, music should be about the real moments in life, the highs and the lows, the moments when we need a gentle nudge to keep climbing. The greatest music in history, in my experience, has united people of all walks of life." I think that's beautifully put. So let's see if everyone else likes the song, if they've not heard already.
Well, we all found out that this is the song we sing. We all talk too loud, but this is the song we sing. Sing.
bit like Eurovision, really, getting two plays of the song, the winning song, of course. And in a week in which there has been the revelation that the United States will actually be having its very own USA Song Contest, which is going to be looked after by the Eurovision Song Contest people. It feels as though we're heading to a strange global society. Never mind. Australia obviously have a regular entry into the Eurovision Song Contest because, as you're well aware, Tessa, and I'm sure Zoe is as well, Australia is part of Europe. Probably connected with an air corridor as well, which is great. And I'm sure, Tessa, that your auntie who's over in Australia would appreciate that. She feels generally European.
She, my auntie, she's called Auntie Jilly. I'll give her a shout out. She's quite a fan of the Midweek Drive and all the radio segments we do and Country in the Kitchen. I think she's our number one fan.
Well, Gillian, it's a delight to connect with your good self. I realise that I'm just the conduit to ensure that your niece gets full airspace time and image, that's the word. So it's all good. It's marvellous.
And you do that. You do that, Alex.
There you go. That wraps up this particular sequence, Tessa. We've got more prereqs coming through in the very near future. Plus, of course, your chance, hopefully, to speak to Eva McDonald about the abseil that she's going to do in aid of the brain tumour charity that she's putting together. Crazy. Crazy soul, but we'll find out more about that. Yeah, crazy. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I most certainly have. It's been delightful as always.
Well, such are the dreams of the everyday soul from somewhere in Lincolnshire. I used to say Deeping St Nicholas, but then just as I remembered that you were based in Deeping St Nicholas, you went and moved. It's very confusing. Never mind.
It was Glinton, now it's Deeping St Nicholas.
Is it?
Still Lincolnshire, yeah.
Gets confusing, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, moving target, less easy to hit, you see. Just keep on moving. That's the important thing. So I take it you'll be back again very soon?
I certainly will if you'll have me.
We live in a free world. I whistle down the wind, carry on smiling, and the world will smile with you. Love is a flower, so precious. Today, we live in a free world. I whistle down the wind, carry on smiling, and the world will smile with you. Life is a flower, so precious in your hand. Carry on smiling, and the world will smile with you. I cannot be your judge, Mr. Generous, your host. Keeping you inside and hides you from the world. No catcher in the rye can help you from today. We live in a free world. I whistle down the wind, carry on smiling, and the world will smile with you. Love is a flower, so precious in your hand. Carry on smiling, and the world will smile with you.
Yeah.
This is Siren Radio, and it's the Midweek Drive, and more good things to come in the second part of the programme, which is coming up in a matter of moments from now. Keep on keeping on, stay safe, and all will be well.